You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning. Starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What is going on this morning, King?
It's another day of preseason football. We got a full schedule tonight. It was very interesting to catch some of the takeaways from last night. And, you know, baseball's still going on. Very interesting. Alex Wood and Zach Greinke. And Zach Greinke actually lost at home last night.
Yes, that happened. That is true.
Yeah.
What's going on with you, Wall Street?
Good morning. Nando DeFino's favorite player, Kelvin Benjamin, you know, was the star of the preseason game last night. Cody Bellinger hit another home run in baseball. That kid is awesome. And let's do this.
Yeah, you know, I here's the baseball I saw yesterday. Wilson Contreras just limping off, and I'm just like, shoot.
Hopes and dreams.
This is not good. this is not good. That was my baseball viewing party last night, myself. Jay Bruce is gone. Wow. How about that?
I don't mind it, but I saw...
Were you the one that was like, how are we not getting anything with Jay Bruce?
No. I don't think they were going to get anything, but the tweet that I retweeted from, I believe it was Mark Craig from, was it Newsday, Scott?
Yes, Newsday.
He put that they had two different proposals on the table.
Right.
The Yankees offered two prospects.
Yep.
And $1 million in salary relief.
Correct.
And the Cleveland Indians offered a 30-round prospect and $5 million in salary relief. And, of course, the Mets went the cheap way.
Yes. Yes, they did. I thought it was interesting the Yankees were involved, given their outfield situation. Aaron Hicks coming back this weekend. Obviously, this is before Clint Frazier got hurt last night. I guess all I literally saw was injuries last night. So it's before Clint Frazier got hurt. Jacoby Ellsbury's been a bit of a bust. So to me, it was kind of surprising that they were so in on Jay Bruce. But nevertheless,
I think it makes sense because, you know, Holiday is, you know, he's out. You know, they could use him to play some DH. He's played first base. He can play right field. They can put him in a variety of positions out of the diamond. And, you know, power hitter in that ballpark. He's not necessarily, you know, the side of the plate you think ideally, but he could drive it out anywhere.
Yeah. But Jay Bruce at Yankee Stadium would have been nice. But if you saw the Cleveland, I think it was 35-27 versus Jay Bruce versus the Cleveland outfield and home run totals.
I saw that, especially given Michael Brantley's injury going on the DL very, very quickly. Went from, you know, a sprained ankle to see if he needs an MRI to he gets the MRI to goodbye. So it was a very quick process here for Michael Brantley to go on the DL and to get Jay Bruce from New York to Cleveland, which kind of makes sense because Cleveland obviously trying to go for that World Series this year. They'll take the extra $5 million and they hope it works out, basically, and they'll figure it out from there. So we'll see if Cleveland can get back to the World Series and this time take it home. When we come back, talk a little football with you, and I'll tell you the story of my walk home. Stick around. Roto Experts in the morning, just getting started. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Quick anecdote before we get rocking here. So you know how New York, of course, we're all based in New York. Wherever you listen, we appreciate you joining us here today. And you know, we all, New York is the city that never sleeps. I figured out this morning as we come to work, getting ready to rock 6 a.m. on the East Coast. the people that never sleep in New York, I don't want to be around them at this time in the morning. I always thought growing up, like, it was cool. Ah, it's a city that never sleeps. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around the people that aren't sleeping at this time.
Did something else happen on the way to the studio today?
I know I'm on the east side, Corey. You know, I don't feel great.
You were on the east side, Corey?
No, 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 no. What?
As I get closer
to the west side,
yeah. It gets a little grimy.
I'm not feeling the comfort.
I would have hated for you, Greg, to like grow up in the 80s or like 90s.
I agree.
Because you think it's grimy now?
The 70s.
Yeah, I agree.
The 80s were just like beyond grimy.
And then thank God Giuliani came and cleaned up the city.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not.
That's true. That's just true. You can look at it prior and post.
Yeah. I'm just going to move
on. Watch a documentary on pre-Giuliani, especially Times Square, and you might be horrified.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with any of that. That's why I just want to move on and, forget about that. That's what I'm looking at. Corey, how are you?
That's too much for me.
Corey, how are you this
morning? It's not one of my favorites. I'm doing good, you know what I'm saying? Watching preseason football last night, did a draft last night. Got a lot of stuff done in Executive Edge, Fantasy Football Package, promo code Frenzy, ding. So, listen, I don't know how, you know, what you want to get into first, you know what I mean, the game. I saw a couple things that intrigued me last night. I like the way Christian McCaffrey runs, you know, between the tackles. He's very quick and elusive, what we see. The speed of the NFL is not a problem for Christian McCaffrey. I want to keep an eye on this kid, Bird, that played for Carolina. I think he's interesting, and I think Foreman, he looks like he runs probably better than what's the old boy named?
Lamar Miller. Alfred Blue, probably.
Alfred Blue
had a nice touchdown run last night.
But the kid Foreman looks like he runs better than Lamar Miller. Yes, he does.
No.
Yes, he does. He jumped over a dude and all of that. You know, it doesn't have to be much, you know, but you can see he has more pep in his step. Yeah, he has more, you know what I'm saying? But the kid Bird, though, they said in during the broadcast they look for him to maybe fill that Ted Ginn role.
Mm-hmm.
That was he's a watch list guy. I want to see how he does the rest of the preseason. Maybe it's a Victor Cruz type
thing. Deep dynasty type of guy?
Maybe a Victor Cruz type thing where he pops up another time.
What about how do you judge these when they're going up against the second and third teams?
Because Foreman was going against the third team.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Corey's even saying like, what he did on the field necessarily. I think he was just seeing like how fast he looked and the pep in his step, as he mentioned. Well, Lamar Miller took a little while to get himself going. He saw Deontay Foreman just come out and perform immediately well. Is that paraphrasing correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a few takeaways from last night. It's like I like mostly what I saw from McCaffrey. He did show at one point, I think, that he was a rookie. There were a lot of good runs. His natural talent really showed. But it was one run where, like, you know, he was caught in between two defenders and he tried to shimmy. You know, you're not going to fool NFL defenders like that. And there was another run where he was obviously frustrated and banged the ball on the turf because he felt like he could have got more yardage. And that stuff will come with time. Jonathan Stewart started. They might share a little more earlier in the season. As the season goes on, he will learn more and more and more. And there will be more upside. But there were some instances where I thought he looked like a rookie. I'll let Maddie talk about Benjamin because he had some very strong feelings about that. I think the listeners would really like to hear that we talked about pre-show. From the Houston side, Tom Savage, you know, the knock on him is that he holds on to the ball too long. He'll get hit. Maybe he'll get hurt. We saw some of that on the first drive. I thought Deshaun Watson just like really, even though it wasn't against the first team defense, I really feel like this kid did really special talent who's eventually going to start. You know, he took what the defense gave him. When he felt the rush, he took off and just ran at the right time. I just feel like, you know, he is a special kid, and I don't think they're going to be able to hold him out of the starting lineup. And I think Corey makes good points about preseason because I used to hear a lot more about how preseason was worthless until two guys, and I'm not saying the only one, really changed the way we viewed things. I think Victor Cruz and Russell Wilson, when they had the preseasons that they did, prior to their first breakout years. Russell's rookie season made us all say, look, you know, a lot of us say the preseason's not completely worthless. But you had some interesting takes on Benjamin, Maddie.
Yeah, I'll get to Benjamin in a second. I thought the most telling thing to me and how I want to see in these, if you watch any Panther games going forward, was the rotation of McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart early on. As you see, Jonathan Stewart was in there.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like he... So, I mean, that going forward, even with Jonathan Stewart having a role, I'm still not averse to taking McCaffrey where he is currently going. The Benjamin thing is, look, Benjamin, when you see him, you see the size, you see what he can do, stiff arm people away. He is a big target in the end zone. But he just to cool it off a little, because everybody was going crazy on Twitter last night. First 2 weeks, he totaled 51 points. From weeks 3 to 16, he averaged like 9.6 points.
So let me kind of get into that here for a second. Because I remember last year, I was very down on Kelvin Benjamin coming back in the ACL.
That's why you should have been.
I loved Jordy Nelson, and I thought the industry as a whole was kind of unanimous on this Kelvin Benjamin being down on him. And he comes out in week one, and he has a fantastic game. And I was like, oh my God, are we literally all wrong about this? Comes out a week later. Again, another good game. And as you just said, Matt, the weeks 3 through 17, not nearly as successful. What happened last year, guys, from weeks 3 to 17 that made Kelvin Benjamin, who was coming off the ACL, was awesome his first 2 weeks, totally just drop off the face of the earth the last 14 weeks of the year?
Quarterback was hurt.
Okay, so you're only going to blame Cam. That's it? You just blame Cam?
I mean, Kelvin Benjamin is not an optimal performer, in my opinion, in the first place. But the health of the quarterback, I think, played a big role in the way that the Carolina Panthers struggled last season. Cam Newton wasn't healthy last year. Everybody knows that.
And I also think Frank Stanfield made a good point on Twitter.
He's
more of a, he's more valuable in the standard format because he's, you know, that he should be that touchdown guy. And the other guy I watch as a receiver, and did the same thing last preseason. When you see Devin Funchess out there, before he makes a play or anything, when you just see him, like, you think this guy should be, like, a really good NFL wide receiver. Has the body, looks like everything, but I don't know. I've heard very good things.
Look like Tarzan, play like James.
You see one of those airplane players you talk about, Corey? Looks good getting off
looks
the plane.
Looks good getting off the airplane. But then again, sometimes you don't look good getting off the airplane. Sometimes, like, you had too much to eat.
That's
on the
funny
airplane.
Because actually ESPN showed a clip of Benjamin this morning. And he was like kind of like walking lazily to the stadium on his cell phone, and they were making fun of him.
You know, as I said, Kelvin Benjamin for 2 weeks last year looked like the guy in his rookie year, and it made people that drafted him feel really, really smart. And then when I asked what happened, you know, Corey says quarterback play.
There were other things that people talked about besides that, which is legitimate what Corey said.
Sure.
You know, they were saying that it was mental, it was lack of focus.
Right.
And also what they talked about this preseason with his conditioning.
Sure.
At one point, you know, it was all over the news and we all knew it. You know, Benjamin was getting upset, you know, at the lack of balls being thrown in his direction. But, you know, he just, you know, maybe after coming off of that injury, you know, the conditioning just didn't last. You know, that's the other thing that you were hearing.
You know, but
tough to come back from that, you know, and play well over a full season for
yes,
some guys.
Yes, it is. And I would understand if he were down toward the end of the year, but it really started, as Matt pointed out, in week three. I'd like to think that another year removed, like we talked about Jimmy Graham, everybody loves Jimmy Graham this year, another move, a year removed from the patella tendon injury, another year together with Russell Wilson in Seattle and all that jazz. But why can't we kind of say the same thing for Benjamin? Another year removed from the ACL. Cam hopefully will come back totally healthy. He's clearly the number one guy when it comes to red zone wide receiver target here for this offense. We saw it last night. He can go up and catch a touchdown pass. Why isn't there this feeling that Kelvin Benjamin can rebound?
I think it's speculation because you never can get in anybody's head.
Mm-hmm.
But what you hear, it's a mental thing with Benjamin, you know, that he kind of melted down mentally last year, et cetera. You don't hear that about Jimmy Graham.
How do you know he melted down mentally?
No, I'm not saying I know that he melted down. What I said was, I said it was speculation that he melted down mentally, that like just like, you know, the focus wasn't there.
Okay, so maybe the focus is there this year.
But the team stunk last year, so maybe that has a part to do.
I agree. And you know what?
If he was not focused, you know what I'm saying?
And you're talking about bringing down mentally, not that I want to say it, but like, Cam Newton's the leader of this team. He gets very, very down when they lose.
He does.
It's not exactly
all over the head, yeah.
It's not exactly cheerful when he's all upset and depressed and broken down mentally. Yep. I mean, you got to follow quarterback's lead.
Listen, he is what he is. I want to touch on Benjamin when we come back.
All right, we'll talk more about Kelvin Benjamin, Cam Newton, and the Panthers' offense, which Corey has vowed to basically stay away from here all offseason. We'll see if he continues that conversation next here on the Auto Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
So last night, as Mojica was saying just a second ago, the conversation was really more about Kelvin Benjamin on Twitter and social media than anybody else, right? Kelvin Benjamin played, as Roto World said, pitch and catch with Derek Anderson, went up, got a couple balls, ultimately scored a touchdown, and basically the joke was, after that touchdown, he literally jumped around in ADP. Corey, you have been very adamant throughout the spring and the summer that this Carolina Panthers offense, you're just not in on. You're not a big fan of it. Like, yeah, you'll draft Christian McCaffrey, but besides that, you're not really interested. Now, you saw Kelvin Benjamin last night. You saw the Panthers offense last night. Has your mind changed at all?
I mean, but you know what it is already. You feel what I'm saying? Kelvin Benjamin is 65 catches, 900 and something yards, 7 touchdowns.
And what's wrong with that?
Top 30 wide receiver.
No question.
They don't do it for me. I feel like I can get something. I mean, if you want to play it safe, you can rock with Benjamin. But I'm going to take a little bit more upside. There's no upside in Kelvin Benjamin. The best year they had, the dude was hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's never played on a good Carolina Panther team. I don't want to say he's pedestrian. He's a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 type. No problem, but he just don't have enough game-breaking ability to be on any fantasy executive locker room.
Would you rather have Kelvin Benjamin or Pierre Garçon?
Pierre Garçon.
Garçon.
I think Kelvin Benjamin's scored more touchdowns than Pierre Garçon.
I'm not big on Garçon. I'll go with Benjamin.
Well, why are you not big on Garçon?
I just feel like, you know, I know you guys like him, but, you know, I'm in disagreement there because I feel like, yes, he's the number one guy there, but there are no compliments there, and I'm just not always a believer that just because the guy is the number one guy, that by default we say, and I'm not saying you say by default, that, you know, that he's going to get all these balls and hog up all the targets. I think the defense is going to know that too.
And what about his record with the Shanahan offense? He's been pretty damn well.
It's been on better teams, I think, with better talent around him, and he's played a secondary role on that. I realize what everybody says about that.
Sure.
I just feel like, you know, he's pretty much alone out there, and that's going to be a problem.
But it's not like Cooper Kupp got pieces in his offense.
I'd rather have Robert Woods across from him, but, you know, this has nothing to do with Cooper Kupp, though.
No, I don't, Scott.
It does, Scott, because Cooper Kupp's on a bad team, too, and you're projecting him for 75, 9, 50, and 5.
Yeah, but Cooper Kupp, you know, also has Robert Woods there, too. And, like, you know, Pierre Garçon
Robert Woods there?
I'm a Bills fan.
Robert Woods is a respectable NFL receiver.
He's a pedestrian.
He should be like a
I'd rather have that than Marquise Goodwin across from him.
I'd rather be the number one wide receiver that get it done in the Shanahan system when I'm in it.
But it's not
with a quarterback like Brian Hoyer that can get me the football.
Here's the thing.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is sometimes the coach cannot always overcome the lack of talent, even if there's a good coach and a good system in place. I think we saw that with Hugh Jackson last year. Very good coach, but was overwhelmed by the lack of talent. He just couldn't move past it.
Where do you have Garcon ranked, if you don't mind me asking?
I'll pull that up for you.
Thank you.
Real quick, getting back to Kelvin Benjamin. Please. I thought this was something I saw on Twitter last night from Mike Clay. He states, which I'm not going to argue because he does a good job, he has the easiest schedule in the league for a number one wide receiver this year.
I mean, if y'all want to buy in, I'm cool with it.
Well, I mean, what the numbers that you gave me.
Is that based on facing cornerbacks?
Yes, exactly.
It would be cornerbacks.
That's not an irrelevant stat, I don't know.
Also, I think, like, I don't know if it's number one, but I remember he did tweet out the matchups that Dez has. But,
he's the hardest.
It's like insane.
100%. Now, Corey, I mean, what you gave me, the numbers of what, 67, 907 is what you said?
Yeah.
Why would I not want that?
Then take him as a wide receiver four and figure out the weeks to play him. It's absolutely no upside there. He's too boring to be on my teams. He just is.
Pierre Garçon's not.
Pierre Garçon will catch 95 passes.
But he's not going to catch 7 touchdowns.
No, he's not, but I'll take the 95 passes. I can guarantee you that.
Can you guarantee me 95 receptions, Pierre
Garçon? He'll get 95 receptions this year if he stays healthy.
A lot of receptions, Pierre Garçon.
85 to 90. I even take it down a bit. I don't want to jump out there like Scott did.
Let me ask you this.
How many do you think he had last year?
Who, Pierre Garçon?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't make a difference. He wasn't in that offense last year. And he probably caught 70-something last year.
He caught 79 receptions last year. Do you know how many times he's had 85 receptions or more in his career?
The year he's played with Kyle Shanahan?
I believe that's true, actually, yes. One. That's one time.
That's that year.
It's one time ever, dude.
That's that year. He was at Indianapolis when they had a ton of pieces in Indy. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Washington, where they had quarterback struggles just about every other year. He got in a system that worked him with Shanahan. They targeted him relentlessly. The past couple years, they've had plenty of pieces in that offense where they don't have to go for him. He's the only guy out there now. They're going to target him a ton. He's going to get 85 catches this year. Easy, easy. That's not a jump out there. Calvary Cross, go up that hill prediction. That's easy money right there on Pierre Garçon. It makes no sense to think differently.
I think you know me better, Corey, than know that I'm just going to jump out there like
it was. No, said I don't by know Jake you better than that. Jake, I've seen yesterday. You jump out there, Scott.
Can I finish my point, Scott? You are notorious for jumping out there. I don't jump out there just to make headlines, though. You can never say that about me, ever. You know that. That's the point I'm making, okay? You're jumping out there with Pierre Garçon. That's a lot of.
How is that jumping out there with Pierre Garçon? It's the same theory. You're giving for Cooper Kupp, playing from behind, trailing, a good player, quarterback getting launched. It's the same theory, except this is a guy who's done it before.
With the Colts?
What the? It doesn't make a difference. He did it with Washington. He led the damn league, Scott.
I'm just not as high on Garçon as you.
You don't have to be.
Whatever. But whatever, let me ask you this, though. You say on Kelvin Benjamin that he's not exciting enough for you. Now,
he's not.
Now, isn't there a point, though, that we always say in playing devil's advocate here that, you know, sometimes these boring players can really help your fantasy team?
They can. They're not going to help mine. I don't want him. I have no interest in Kelvin Benjamin.
I'll put him at number 36. Maybe I had him at 40. I'll put him at number 36, so he's that last guy in that tier. That's what he is. I mean, look at last season. He was at 36 from weeks 1 to 16. He was behind Sterling Shepard.
Sure. Sorry, Shepard. He touched that last year. Nice year last year. Listen, I'm not all of a sudden.
See, that's the thing. He's the number one wide receiver who's about the same as Sterling Shepard.
Last year, Sterling Shepard. A little bit different now with Brandon Marshall.
I think Sterling Shepard's still going to have a good year.
Would you rather have Sterling Shepard than Kelvin Benjamin?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Kelvin Benjamin, I'm not saying all of a sudden he's in my top 20. Where do I have Kelvin Benjamin? You said he's 36 for you, Mojica.
I'll put him at 36.
I got him at 42.
I got him at 50.
He's at 34 for me. So I'm the high guy, but
I got him at 42, but I'm probably going to move him up a little bit.
Who would you rather have, Kelvin Benjamin or Tyrell Williams?
Tyrell Williams.
There you go. That's easy. That's easy.
I think Tyrell
number one versus number two. You know,
I'd rather have Kelvin Benjamin.
Tyrell's way underrated. You know, I got a new article on Seahawks.com. Check it out this morning. Breakthrough players, undervalues, sleepers. And you know, Tyrell Williams, he's going like 103 in Fantasy Pros ADP.
But let's not forget, there's a lot of other pieces in that Los Angeles offense. Or San Diego.
1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. He's going to be.
As the man.
Yes.
He's going.
There was no Keenan Allen there neither. You have to take that into consideration.
You can't trust Keenan Allen to stay healthy.
No, we don't know what's
going on with Mike Williams.
Sure.
So I feel he's undervalued.
But listen, I think he's. See, to me, I think Tyrell Williams is properly valued because I think a lot of people like Tyrell Williams. But I recognize Keenan Allen, who, once again, I'm going to fall back. back in love with. I realize this now, I'm an idiot, but I like Keenan Allen. Antonio Gates is still alive. Hunter Henry, I think, I know we talked about it yesterday. I think he continues to improve. We know this is going to be a running-based offense. Corey has screamed that at me for 6 months about Anthony Lynn and Melvin Gordon. And Travis Benjamin's a deep threat. Dontrell Inman still exists. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Los Angeles. I'm not saying I dislike Tyrell Williams. I don't. I just don't project him to be better than Kelvin Benjamin.
Now, here's the thing, though. You say all of that.
Yes, sir.
But let's say Keenan Allen does stay healthy.
Yeah.
To me, I think he's a second guy in the pecking order and still a very good passing game.
He could be, but like...
certainly outside the 20s, too.
But if Tyrell Williams is the second guy in the pecking order in Los Angeles, I'm not... and he probably is, right? Like, we're totally
agreeing. He could become the first.
If there's an injury.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so even if... if Keenan Allen stays healthy, which is a huge if, I totally recognize that. Tyrell Williams, isn't he going to just be Malcolm Floyd in his best year?
No, I think he's a different skill set than Malcolm Floyd.
Hey, look, I like Tyrell Williams. I spent a lot of money after week one on him last season. He did very well for me. But I think people are now trying to project him to be at least that, if not better. I don't know if he's that kind of guy. He had the most interceptions for passes thrown at. He doesn't really have the separation that I think a lot of people think. I like him. I liked him a lot better before the Mike Williams injury, but he seems to be pushing up just a little too much, I think.
What's a little too much for you?
I think I have him in the low 40s.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I think he's a wide receiver 3.
You got Eric Decker ranked higher than him?
Decker is probably right with him. Maybe Decker might be like 44. He's like 41.
What about Adam Thielen?
Adam Thielen and him are right there. The guy had Thielen at 42.
John Brown?
John Brown I do have ahead of him. I think whatever that. John Brown I think I had at 37.
All these guys are obviously in a very, very similar spot. I'm with you, right? Like, I have Adam Eli. We're talking a lot about these guys in the Fantasy Best Friends Forever coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific.
Why we can't do it now?
Well, we can. I have other things.
I'm just curious. Where does everybody else have Tyrell?
I have a rundown. Thanks for opening it.
Where does everybody else have Tyrell Williams? That I'm, you know.
Listen, I got
Tyrell Williams at 38.
You're right there.
You said you had low 40s, correct? Is that what you said?
I'll pull it up right now.
He's 42. He's 42 for me.
I got 31.
So you're going to be high guy entirely. Yeah.
Actually, I have him at 38, but I think he's around that 40. I have Eric Decker at 40. Meredith there, John Brown. From 37 to 40, I have those four.
I have to update this, but I have Eric Decker at 46 for the record. Eric Decker at 46. Tyrell Williams at 42. We'll talk about Corey Davis in just a moment, so I'm going to have to adjust that. I have John Brown at 39, slightly ahead of Tyrell Williams. And then who's the other guy? Adam Thielen one spot higher than that at 38.
So they're all dudes in the same area. Correct. Tyrell Williams is the best talent out of that bunch.
I don't disagree with that.
What about Matt's point, which is interesting, that he doesn't have as much separation as everybody thinks he does.
It didn't mess him up last year.
Yeah, well, he said.
I mean, you look at some of the advanced stats on him.
He had the most
catches over 40 yards last year. Yeah. He dominated in yards. He was up there in targets. He was up there in receptions over 20 yards. He can play.
Yeah, a lot of people are not convinced on him.
One question, Corey. Would you rather have all these guys we just named than Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
The low guy on Benjamin. That's fine. All right, we're going to come back. I mentioned Corey Davis. Let's talk about him on the other side. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Matt had a really smart comment during the break in regards to all these wide receivers. And listen, we're arguing, even the most of us, we're arguing over like 10 spots, basically, for a wide receiver, which I understand is pretty big. But that's what we're arguing over. And this entire cluster F of wide receivers are just very unpredictable. I know our job is literally to unwrap this and unrope it and try to figure out who to take first and who could break out. But it's really much easier, as Matt was saying, to kind of just keep drafting those top 30 guys and not have to worry about this pile of crap.
I mean, that's the way I like to go. But look, let's just talk about Tyrell Williams real quick.
Yeah, of course.
Before, I don't dislike him.
Same.
I've drafted him in my last two drafts. I have him on both teams. I had to take him in the sixth when we needed that wide receiver, and I got him in the seventh early. But this was a guy that a couple weeks ago was going, you know, ninth round, early 10th. So all I'm trying to say is he is a good receiver. I don't think he's a great receiver. And, you know, he's a guy I want to have. I just don't want him to be my number three.
No, he should be a four.
I agree. I agree. I'm very happy Tyrell Williams is my four. I don't trust him as my three. I think it's a really smart
team. If he's your three, you need to have Le'Veon Bell, yeah. Isaiah Crowell, and a running back in your flex spot if he's your three.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Let's go to Tennessee now here for a moment, because all of those guys, Rashard Matthews,
Smashville,
Eric Decker, now Corey Davis, they're all in this kind of area as well. And I agree with you, Corey, that Corey Davis is probably the number one wide receiver I wanted coming out of this draft in the first round of Davis, John Ross, and Mike Williams. And now Davis hurts his hamstring, and we say it a lot, but when the player isn't optimistic, that scares the hell out of me.
I didn't see a quote.
And Corey Davis admitted that he is still week to week at this point when it comes to this hamstring. It's been about a week since he left, and he says he's still week to week. That scares me.
Yeah, no, that scares me too. I'm laying off right now until we get more information, unless he drops extremely far. I think he has a very good opportunity this year in Tennessee. We want to see him healthy. I already do have some exposure, so it's not like I'm out on him. Moving forward over the course of these next couple of weeks, I might lay back a little bit. He is a player I like, but I want to see him on the field getting that rapport before I make that kind of commitment of a eighth, ninth round draft pick. He drops a little bit lower than that, though. I'm going to jump on him because the kid can play, and I like his role. Listen, Odell Beckham, we saw what happened.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, the hamstrings can linger, but, like, by week four, if he's putting up good numbers and you passed on him because of, you know, a hamstring injury now, you can't always draft in the now. And, you know, maybe that bumps him down the board in some drafts and makes him something of value.
So are you not worried about Corey Davis's hamstring, Scott?
I'm not saying I'm not considering it, but what I'm saying is if he slips enough, I'm not going to say, okay, you know, or if he's the best player on my board, I'm not going to say, okay, I'm not going to draft him now. You know, you got to play 13 weeks here. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily miss on that talent because maybe, you know, he's a little bit hobbled like week one or two or something like that.
I'm looking to play 16 weeks. And the thing with Corey Davis is I do want him on my team. But I have a couple of shares. I haven't drafted him anything lower than double-digit rounds. I've got him in the 10th and even later than that. And I think this is a good, not a good thing, but right now in Tennessee, there's a lot of mouths going on. We don't really know, but I think his talent will win out. So if he's a guy I can get from the 10th round on, I want him in every league.
How does it change where you're drafting the other Tennessee wide receivers, though? Because, like I said, initially I had Corey Davis, you know, a good five, seven spots higher than Rashard Matthews and Eric Decker. I think that has to change now.
I flipped on Eric Decker. I will admit that. Just from hearing the reports that he's looking healthy, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I know Dr. A has been like he's a high injury risk and all that. But from what I'm hearing out there, if Eric Decker's on the field, Eric Decker's going to catch touchdowns. So that's kind of something that's been proven. I don't have to worry about it. So he's a guy that I'm looking around in that eighth, ninth round, Decker. But if Decker's going in the sixth round, I'm not buying.
I just don't trust the health. I'm moving Rashard Matthews up.
Yeah.
I'm moving Rashard Matthews up. He's like right now he's the player in that offense I'm targeting is Rashard Matthews. Eric Decker, I have moved him up a little bit. I really don't just see myself drafting Eric Decker because I don't like his health situation.
I want to go back to something that Corey said here a couple days ago. And I don't know if it was this week or last week, Corey.
I'm doing a draft last night. I'm trying to find Eric Decker went in the seventh. I want to find out where Corey Davis
went. Rashard Matthews went as well, please.
Rashard Matthews went in the eighth.
I have Davis and Matthews like right next to each other because, you know, Davis like dropped a few spots for me.
I don't know what that is, Greg. It's the contest lock. Davis went in the 12. I'll take him in the 12 every day.
So I have, just for the record, Scotty, I have I have Decker and Davis back to back. I have Rashard. Oh, you know what? I have them all back to back. I have
Decker going five rounds higher than Davis last night is crazy.
Crazy. I literally have them back to back to back, 43, 44, 45. And the guy I want is Rashard Matthews because of what Corey said, like I said, earlier this week, or it might have been late last week. And that was simply in this offense, which is growing together, Marcus Mariota at the helm. Two guys were there last year. Rashard Matthews and Delanie Walker. I don't think Rashard Matthews just goes away so quickly.
I agree with that, too. There's an established rapport there. As much as we like Corey Davis, and even if you do like Eric Decker, you know, they're the new guys, you know, on that Tennessee block, if you will. And with Davis and Decker both facing health questions and Matthews not, you know, I think... You know, it's very fair.
In a perfect world, the receiver I'll walk out with if it stays
is the cheapest one.
No, it's actually Corey Davis. If he stays at the double digits and beyond, like I mentioned, that's where I've taken him. He's the guy I want, stashing cash kind of player.
Yeah,
I'll you know.
So what's great about Corey Davis potentially is that he's costing you double digit rounds as you saw last night in your NFFC, Corey. Where you have him, Matt, is double digit rounds. I think I drafted him in Scott's fishbowl double like way later and I was pumped to get him. But Corey Davis is the perfect type of player. In a perfect world, in an ideal world, if he's not ready for week one, he Odells it all of a sudden in week four and then just crushes it, right?
Like, exactly. I'm willing to take that gamble, too.
I'm willing to take that gamble double digit rounds as well. That's worth it to me.
We do that a lot with running backs. I don't know why it's
sure.
not
more prevalent with wide receivers. And I think it's honestly
Matt said before. People have a perception that wide receiver is deep, so by default, that's why they don't do that.
And probably so. Let me ask this, Corey. Would you rather have Corey Davis than Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah, I'd rather take a shot on Corey Davis late than fool with Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin's a pedestrian.
You would too, Scott.
Yeah, I would. I feel way more upside for Corey Davis. I'm not against taking Benjamin, but I got Davis at 40 and Benjamin at 42. So it's close, but I like Davis better.
I mean, as far as price, I mean, I have Benjamin ranked higher, but as far as price goes, I would rather wait and have somebody else at that price. Have a running back, say, Benjamin, I'm going to assume it's like, where I see him is like fifth round, sixth round at the latest.
That's where you're seeing him right now?
More fifth, I think he goes.
Oh, wow, I thought he was going a little bit later than that.
Let's see.
Oh, I couldn't take him in the fifth round. He went in the sixth last night.
Okay, yeah, like fifth, sixth round is where I've seen him go this.
According to Fantasy Pros, just for fun, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver 30 off the board right now, number 72 off the board. So that's at the end of the sixth round, right?
That's good. Just to make up, for instance, last Thursday night, my online championship, he went with the second pick of the fifth round. That's way too high.
Way too early. And I'm not disputing that. But when I see him go and get 72 overall, which is the last pick of the sixth round.
Yeah, no, I think for at that spot, but, you know. For me, it's like, you know what? Maybe a couple of rounds later, a round or two later, I can get an Eric Decker who I think is kind of... He's going to score touchdowns, too. Maybe he doesn't get as many yards as Benjamin. But I'm getting a theoretic where I'm taking Benjamin and then I'm getting a Decker. I'm just trying to, like, put that out there, show you how if you went that route.
Sure. Listen, I totally recognize it. A lot of it depends where you are in the draft, what your roster construction is, and so many of the points that we make on the program are related to that. But I just think that Kelvin Benjamin is one of these guys that are not sexy like Corey Davis, like Devontae Parker, like some of these other Tyrell Williams. These are very sexy names out there and young guys can pop off. But Kelvin Benjamin is 26 years old. I understand that he showed up out of shape and he may have been mentally checked out last year like many of the Panthers were. But I think this is a guy that just a couple of years ago, had 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, and everybody loved Kelvin Benjamin.
I do see some smart people taking him in drafts I've done. You know, I do monitor with people that I think are good players and have proven track records and stuff. And in all honesty, I have seen people be on the Kelvin Benjamin bandwagon where I was like, oh, really?
And Mike Clay says that he's facing the easiest wide receiver schedule the first few weeks of the season.
I think it's a nice point that's ultimately made, though, that like you can feel even better about it in the standard league.
Sure.
Frankie Stanfield.
Sure. Give credit to my BFF, please. Thank you. But there's a lot of, but like, I think you say the same exact thing, though, what all these wide receivers that we're talking about. Tyrell Williams, I'll feel better about in the standard league.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Devontae Parker, I'll feel better about in a standard league.
No.
Why? Wait, do you think Devontae Parker's going to be peppered with targets with Jarvis Landry there?
I don't know if he's going to score as many touchdowns as
he was the lead end zone target last season.
Correct.
So I think that's only going to go up.
So a guy not peppered with targets is better in a standard league.
I feel like Benjamin's going to be more of a touchdown threat.
Then
Devontae Parker.
And for his team, for in general, maybe, but for their team, they're similar wide receivers. I'm not saying I have
Plus the fact that I've seen Benjamin do it,
sure.
And I haven't seen Parker do it.
I like Benjamin over Parker. I'm not even disputing that. All I'm saying is that Parker's the guy that's going to be better in a standard league than a PPR league.
I would rather have Benjamin.
I agree. That's not the argument. I mean, I
think Scott just wants to argue with you.
I'm actually confused by his answer.
I agree. I have Benjamin higher than Devontae Parker.
Right.
All I'm saying is, Devontae Parker as a player is better in a standard league than Devontae Parker.
Then why is Parker higher?
We take a break. I'm going to explain this to Scott during the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Michael Conforto because Scott talks to him. We'll break it down, I promise. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
I think Scott's figured it out.
I did figure it out.
When it comes to Devontae Parker.
I couldn't latch on to the fact that you were comparing Devontae Parker to Devontae Parker
and
not Kelvin Benjamin.
Precisely. Kelvin Benjamin, take him out of it. Devontae Parker as a player is better in a standard league than Devontae Parker is in a PPR league.
I don't have a problem with that.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Speaking of players you don't have a problem with, you had an opportunity earlier this week to catch up with Michael Conforto.
Yeah, and Michael Conforto going into yesterday. He hit his 22nd home run the other night and has 5 leadoff homers, the most in the National League and for 3rd most in the majors. And I asked Mike, you know, why his conversion to being a leadoff hitter this year was so successful.
It hasn't been a huge adjustment for me. You know, I've said a few times that where I bat in the lineup doesn't really affect, you know, my approach to hitting. I feel like no matter where you hit, as long as you're focused on driving the ball, hitting the ball where it's pitched, getting on base and you know, kind of letting the pitcher come to you, I think that approach fits anywhere in the lineup. So I'm just trying to be me in the leadoff spot, just trying to be the kind of hitter that I am, and so it hasn't really been too big of an adjustment, and it fits well there.
Yeah, and during the offseason, he changed his diet, cut out the fast food and stuff like that, adjusted his swing mechanically, tried to lift the ball less, and he's really heated up since the All-Star break, 309 with 5 doubles, 8 home runs, and 16 RBIs. Overall, he's 10th in OPS in the majors, 8th and 9th at OBP, 11th in slugging percentage, 22 home runs, 57 RBIs, going into yesterday at career highs. And I also asked him, it was interesting to hear his reaction to the usual question that I ask: how do you feel when people draft you on their fantasy baseball teams?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's I used to play fantasy baseball when I was in high school, and it was always a pretty cool thing for me to hear. You know, I'll hear fans say it all the time. They got me on their fantasy team, and you know, some of my buddies as well. So it's pretty surreal. You know, I can't imagine being drafted, all over the world, in fantasy leagues. That's pretty cool. So that's one of the cool things about being in the show.
Yeah, and so many guys, you'll say, well, I don't know a lot about fantasy baseball. You know, Mike was talking to me. He really appreciates it because he used to actually play fantasy baseball. So he's got even a deeper appreciation for it, it seems.
You know what's interesting, Scotty? Do you feel like the younger players that you come up, that you get an opportunity to talk to, are more receptive to that question than some of the older guys?
Certainly. Although some of the older guys have played fantasy football, but some of the younger guys who come out have actually played baseball. Like, you know, I got that, you know, but not as sort of the answer of like from Eric Hosmer, from Drew Storen. You know, those guys actually played fantasy baseball. And, you know, if you listen to the full interview on demand on Audio Boom, iTunes, and Google Play, you'll hear Mike say he knows the differences between baseball and football and how much work it is. Whereas I'll talk to all the players and they'll be like, I've heard that, you know, baseball is a lot of work, so I'm not interested. Whereas the younger players will get into it.
Yeah, you know, I just think it's almost generational, right? Where it's like we have grown up.
Yeah.
We've grown up playing, or I have grown up, I should say, playing fantasy sports from the day I was, 10 years old, give or take. My dad was in a league, and all I wanted to do was join in with him. And he, like I said, he's been doing that forever. And when I was in middle school and then high school, we had major leagues, and that's continued. And now, you know, I'm almost 30 years old, so we've been doing this for a long time. And Michael Conforto is a little bit younger than me, so he's been a very civil, and being a baseball lifer, like, he's in a similar situation. Some of these older guys, it was just like a little early. So,
yeah, and also listen to the interview. He's a Seahawks fan and a fantasy football player. Listen in for his comments on that.
Seahawks fan, huh?
Yeah, he's from Washington.
Have you gotten a Michael Conforto jersey yet then?
No.
Is Michael Conforto your new David Wright?
What's that?
Is he your new David Wright?
I don't know about that yet.
More Roto Experts in the morning! Coming your way next.